to Off Trail Learning. This is Blake Bowles.
And this is Zen Zenith.
Zen, what are you doing here? This is my podcast.
Well, Blake, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you asked me to come on and interview you on this podcast. Yes.
I did do that, didn't I?
It's all coming back.
Wow, Zen, my lifelong friend from Not Back to School Camp, a prolific podcaster himself. I am honored.
Me too. I mean, you know, you always do sort of these nice blogs, these life updates, and I think it's time that we do an audio version of that sort of life update blog. And you know, today on the 10th anniversary of Unschool Adventures, it seems like a good time.
Okay, I buy that. Let's talk about Unschool Adventures.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. I know there's some big shifts coming up in the Unschool Adventures world that we're going to get to. And then I also have some questions for you that you may not be as prepared for as well.
I don't know. Have you ever done this podcasting thing before, Zen? I think I heard something with your name on it. Was it called the House Show Show?
What? Yes. So I'm a professional podcast host. So hopefully we can do this thing justice.
I feel like I'm in good hands, and I love your podcast, by the way, Zen. It's awesome. I listened to an episode yesterday. You're a master.
Thanks, Blake. So let's get straight to it. The first thing I actually want to talk about just before we get into the Unschool Adventure stuff is Not Back to School Camp, because that's where you and I first met.
Yeah, that's right. I think we first worked together maybe in 2008, a long time ago.
Yeah, and one of the things I was just curious about thinking back to that first time of you coming to Not Back to School Camp is what was it like? Because, you know, I went to camp as a camper, and then now I'm an adult unschooler, and I still work at camp occasionally. And what was it like coming into that world as someone who was not an unschooler? You sort of came to camp out of college, right?
Yeah, it was about a year after getting out of school, and I had just been really interested in the world of alternative education, but I was still working in the world of outdoor education, like taking fifth graders on hikes and pointing out deer to them. And Not Back to School Camp was this total revelation. I'd been working at this other summer camp called Deer Crossing, this wilderness summer camp that's more traditional. And the thing that I remember blowing my mind most at Not Back to School Camp was realizing that if I was tired, I could just go take a nap in the field, like pretty much whenever I needed to. And so like it was work, but not work. And all the teenagers were so cool. Right. They were fun to hang out with, fun to lead workshops for. And so I was immediately hooked. This was my first time meeting a group of more than 100 unschooled teenagers. I'd only really read about them before that. So it was huge.
Yeah, the mythical unschooled teenager.
The unicorn found in its natural habitat.
What was it like coming in to, like, what was the dynamic like that first year for you as a staff person coming into a bunch of other staff people who were all previous campers and previous unschoolers and had like a sort of camp culture? And how did it feel integrating yourself into that? Was it easy or was it awkward at first?
Yeah, I know that people looked at me with a skeptical eye because I've done that in the past years when a new instructor, a new staff member has come in to Not Back to School Camp. But also, I was already really a camp guy. I was already part of this camp culture. And I feel right. like that got me into the group pretty quickly. And I really loved all of the theory behind self-directed learning and unschooling. And I felt passionately about it the same way I do today. So it was a pretty seamless transition.
Yeah, it felt seamless to me as well, and that makes sense to me. You sort of have a lot of experience of jumping into new groups of people and making yourself welcome like right off the bat, which is nice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So the other thing, let's get into the Unschool Adventures here, because I remember when you started Unschool Adventures at Not Back to School Camp. I remember you talking about it. And what was the seed for that idea? Where did that all come from?
I wanted to get out of outdoor education, mostly because the turnover was so high. You'd have a group of students that came in on a Monday and would leave on a Wednesday or a Friday, and then another group would come in immediately after that. And it wasn't like summer camp to the extent that you can develop these relationships with the young people that you're working with. I wanted to work with young people on a longer term basis. So I was looking for jobs that would let me do this. And I found my dream job, which was a gap semester trip leader position in South America. Mm. And they want you to be 25. I just turned 25. They want you to be fluent in Spanish. Yes. They want you to have a wilderness first responder and even better, an emergency medical technician certification. Boom. Had both of those. I just felt like I was perfectly qualified for this job. And so I applied. I interviewed. I got to the final interview round. I drove up to Portland, Oregon. And as I was waiting for the email back and just telling myself, like, yeah, this is the perfect job for me. I'm going to love this. I finally got the email in 2008, and the guy said, sorry, we had 150 applicants for two spaces, and we didn't choose you.
Ugh.
And I was sad, and I was sulking a little bit for a few days. And then I decided, you know what? I've always been interested in starting my own business, and I've had these little entrepreneurial dreams and schemes, and maybe this is the opportunity to do it. So I emailed the owner of this company back, and I said, hey, can you help me start my own trip leading company? Like, I won't really be competing for your same gap year kids. I'm going to try to see if I can do it with teenage homeschoolers and unschoolers, because I work at this place called Not Back to School Camp. And these kids are so awesome, and they are often so heartbroken when the camp is done that they're just looking for more opportunities to connect and to get together with these other teenagers. And so I'm going to try to offer them this opportunity in a foreign country. And the owner of this company, it still surprises me to this day, said, yes, I'd love to help you start your own company. He helped me with the paperwork, with thinking about the legal stuff.
Wow.
And yeah, in a matter of a couple of months, our mutual friend Abby Miller and I, who also works at Not Back to School Camp,
yep,
we collaborated to put together a six-week trip to Argentina in fall 2008. And Grace, who runs camp, graciously kind of sent a single email out to the whole Not Back to School Camp community. And we got enough young people to sign up. We got 9 people to sign up for the trip. And they weren't all from camp. Some of them came from the greater unschooling web. And we had a trip, and all of a sudden I had a company.
That's amazing. So in true unschooler fashion, you when you didn't get the opportunity, you were like, you know what? I'll just make the opportunity myself.
Yeah, what's the downside to sending that email to the guy who owns the company? He's just not going to respond, or he's going to say, nope, I don't have time for that, or I don't do that. And he said yes.
Yeah, I can really relate to that, Blake, especially as someone who's done a lot of freelance stuff myself, and also as a musician, too. I keep thinking about how so often with in the music world, opportunities are hard to come by, and so a lot of times you have to create them yourselves as mm-hmm. well. So that's really cool. So for people who don't know, can you give a little rundown of exactly what Unschool Adventures is?
Yeah, it's a trip leading company that works with a lot of teenage unschoolers, but you don't have to be an unschooler. You can be a homeschooler, an alternative school student. And we've had public school students also join every once in a while.
Cool.
But I've essentially used this company as a way to travel and see the world for myself, to go to interesting new places or go back to places that I really love, like Argentina or New Zealand, and to offer an experience for 14 to 19 year olds that gives them a lot more independence and responsibility than you would typically get on a teenage program. Because I remember doing a teen travel trip when I was in high school, and it was so tightly controlled. It was so micromanaged. Mm. Every single hour of the day was accounted for, and everything had to be educational. You know, we had to be learning about culture or history or being given a lecture by someone. And the parts that I remembered from that trip the most are the few hours when my friends and I got to go and explore on our own. And so I wanted to flip it upside down and make it mostly freeform exploration, which is a natural fit for unschoolers who are already in charge of the bulk of their time each day, and they get to follow their interests. And this felt like something that would be a little bit more sustainable for me as a trip leader and for the other trip leaders who I hired, because we are not in this constant 24/7 role of monitoring and educating and instructing. We get to have a little bit of personal space too, which makes us more relaxed, more friendly, more, you know, natural to be around. And so, yeah, in the same way that the teacher-student relationship drastically changes when you do something like unschooling, I felt like this just was a good fit, and nobody else was offering anything like this at the time. At this point, there was one other guy offering trips and he kind of quit. And now there's another company doing something similar. But still, there's not many people offering these kinds of trips during the school year for homeschoolers and unschoolers.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the part of you getting to go and have fun, too, also just allows the teenagers that are with you to it lets you lead by example. They let to see how you are naturally and emulate that. That's really cool. What was it like touring the world with a group of unschooled teenagers? What were some of your favorite moments of that?
Oh man, that first trip to Argentina was just a total eye opener. We did 2 weeks of Spanish classes and homestays in Patagonia. Then we did 2 weeks of kind of student designed travel where we gave them a budget and some ground rules and they got to figure out the itinerary. And then the last 2 weeks we spent in Buenos Aires doing living in two group apartments and taking tango lessons. And and so that's just one example of the very first trip. And some of the trips have been more outdoors focused, like the trips we've done to New Zealand. They have always involved a lot of hiking and camping. And there's been these funny moments where like we rented a van to get our group from one spot to another because we couldn't, find any public transport. And so we drove everyone there, but then I needed to take the van back. And so to get back to the group after returning the van, I had to hitchhike in New Zealand and my co-leaders challenged me to wear a sombrero while hitchhiking. And so I found myself, hitchhiking with a sombrero on, which actually really helps with hitchhiking.
Does it? Why?
I don't know. It's just a novelty.
Right.
Maybe it only works in New Zealand. I'm not sure.
That's a very New Zealand specific tactic.
Yeah. And so a lot of the magic came from the planned activities, but there was a lot of unplanned moments too. On another New Zealand trip, we were volunteering at this farm and this lady had a bunch of old Range Rovers, you know, the big SUVs kind of sitting around her property, which she used to tow stuff around. And there was a number of 14 and 15-year-olds and some 16-year-olds in this group, all of whom were kind of getting ready to learn how to drive. And at some point, someone asked, hey, can we just like try to drive one of these cars? Because it's just wide open fields here. And I said, let's find out. And so we asked the woman. She said, sure, just, you know, you need to be in the car with them and stay in the field. And so I helped some of these teenagers learn how to drive for the very first time, but not just drive. This was a stick shift car. But it was in New Zealand, so the stick shift, you had to use your left hand to do the stick shift because you're sitting in the right seat. And so they learned like the most difficult possible way to drive. And so we had an hour where everyone was taking turns sitting in the driver's seat and learning how to use a stick with your left hand. And when they would get it into first gear and then into second gear and start moving, they were just screaming with joy. I mean, I can keep going, Zen. There's a lot of stuff that happens on these trips that I kind of find out about a little bit later, or I don't know all the details because they get to go off and have this independent time. And we have these ground rules, you know, like tell us where you're going, tell us when you're leaving, take a cell phone. It's basic be safe stuff. But just one more. I remember on one of the trips to Buenos Aires, this was a tango-themed trip, but in some of their free time, a couple of the young women on the trip wanted to go to this theme park. It's a Jesus-themed theme park in Buenos Aires. Yeah, it's wild. I've never been there, but I saw some photographs later. And they wanted to go there, and there's no easy public transport to get there. So they said, can we take a taxi? And I said, I want to make sure that you're totally down on how to use a taxi and how to do it safely first. So we did some like test taxi rides. And they performed stellarly. And then I said, all right, you're good to go. And I kind of saw them get into the taxi and they were gone for the whole day. And they came back in a taxi that night. And, you know, the theme park was cool. But just getting to take a taxi in a foreign capital city on their own was this huge experience.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, those are just a few little stories.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously there's a lot of great stories. What are some of the challenging things about running those trips?
There's not too many big challenges.
Okay.
And I think that's due to the fact that we do Skype interviews with everyone beforehand. And so it's only the really prepared and motivated teens who are admitted onto the trip. And I'm really thankful for that, because when I hear stories from other kind of group trips where you can just sign up and pretty much they'll accept you if you pay the money, there's a few more horror stories that comes out of those kinds of trips.
Right.
I'd say there is a general challenge of herding cats. You have a lot of independent teens, and you have a lot of teens who are, they're used to being able to do stuff on their own at age 15.
Right.
And then they do have to agree to some of these basic rules, like you need to travel in a group of three people if you're going out far into town. And for some of them, that feels kind of restrictive. And so there's a lot of freedom, but there also are some restrictions just because we need to take care of them as minors.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, let me ask you this, Blake. So there aren't that many challenges. It all sounds amazing. But I also know that you've mentioned a couple times that your heart doesn't really feel like it's in it right now. And I'm a little bit curious to know what that's about and what you're sort of seeing as the future of Unschool Adventures.
Zen, I'm so glad you asked. So, yeah, over the past couple years, and especially this last year, I've just found myself a little bit more checked out as a trip leader. And I think that's because I've been doing it so long. This is the 10th year. Our first trip was in fall 2008. I just finished running a Spain trip in summer 2018. And I feel like I've gotten pretty good at it. And even though we're still going to new places, I'm feeling like the challenge that I'm looking for isn't quite there anymore.
Right.
And it's definitely not because of my co-leaders or because of the teenagers who are on the trips. Like, they are all wonderful, and they have been wonderful ever since the beginning of Unschool Adventures. So, it's more about me and just feeling like I need something new and a different kind of challenge. And also, to be honest, like, when I started this at age 25, getting to leave and go someplace new for 6 weeks, sometimes longer, was really sexy. Like, that was right. That was a great way to live. And I love that all the way through my 20s and into my early 30s. And now 35, almost 36, I am I'm becoming a little bit more of a stodgy adult.
Blake,
I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I'm admitting this.
Are you settling down?
Podcast format. Well, I am trying to put the gears in motion so that I can settle down.
Right.
And so that means not having to up and go somewhere for multiple months, multiple times a year. And I've always been interested in being able to do work from my computer, being truly location independent, and my all the work that I do outside of Unschool Adventures has been that. And so I'm trying to take it in that direction and continue working with, young people, self-directed young people who want to do big, cool travel adventures, but do it in a way that I can have a sustainable adult life also.
Yeah, that's always – it's such a hard balance to strike. But, I really relate to that as well. I think that, even when you have your dream job, if you've been doing it for 10 years, sometimes it's easy to want to start looking to the next thing and have something new. So I definitely understand that. I mean, I was a music teacher for a long time, as you know, and I'm currently taking a break from it, even though it was something I absolutely loved doing. For kind of that exact same reason, it was time for something new.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that, Unschool Adventures is not going to end this year. What is the future of Unschool Adventures look like with you sort of having that new focus?
Yeah, I've had people tell me for a long time, why don't you hire other people to run your trips? And to be honest, I just have trust issues around that, because there's so much going on. There's so many balls to juggle, and it's a lot of responsibility to take care of a group of other people's kids.
I think you have a very particular skill set that makes and it requires a very particular skill set to run that kind of a trip.
Yeah, and I'm very thankful for that first summer camp, that wilderness summer camp where I worked, because it instilled a very serious risk management ethic in me, and that will never leave me.
Right.
And so, like, safety is paramount. And yeah, it's hard to find people who kind of share that really serious view of safety, but also can be a little bit lighthearted and fun, right, and not be, you know, like terrible people to be around for 6 weeks. So, and I'm really not trying to just say like, oh, I'm the only one who can run these trips and nobody else could ever do this. Like, I know other people run great trips and I've worked with a lot of great co-leaders. And so I am starting to work with a few people from previous trips to have them design and lead trips without me. And this might work and this might not, because I've committed the great entrepreneurial sin of kind of building myself into the business too much. Mm-hmm. I've been told by a number of people that, you know, they don't want to go on an unschooled adventures trip. They want to go on a trip with Blake. And while that's very flattering, that's not very good from like a business expansion point of view. Yeah. So, but I am going to give it a try. I'm working with a former co-leader from two programs, Ari, to put together a New Zealand trip for late 2019 for teenagers 14 to 19. And so we're working on that right now. But the big thing that I'm trying to do starting January 2019 is to work with 17 to 20-year-olds. So essentially the high school graduate age range, to help people in this range develop and embark upon their first big solo international adventure. And so when I'm trying to offer something to the gap year crowd, people who find themselves looking at gap year programs, but saying, oh my God, these programs are so expensive. Like, these programs, if you go for a semester, for a full year, are anywhere from $12,000 or $15,000 up to $30,000. It's essentially like paying for a whole semester or a whole year of college. And so it's just out of the affordability range for a large number of people. Even though some of these organizations offer scholarships, it's hard to get them. So people who are interested in gap years but can't afford or just don't want to invest in a really expensive program, but also are not yet ready to go off and travel by themselves at age 18 or 19. Like, that sounds cool and intriguing, but it's also very scary, and it feels like you might get really lonely, and there might be moments that overwhelm you. And
yep.
Yeah, right. Have you done this, Sen? Have you done some long-term solo travel?
Oh, yeah, I've done a little bit, but then also I was just as you were saying that, I was realizing, man, I could use that for my life. Like, right, anytime,
any consideration.
Yeah, anytime you're, you know, striking out to do something on your own, you know, even when you're a highly motivated, self-directed individual, it can be so useful to have someone who is helping keep you on track or just giving you guidance. So
yeah, and that's essentially what the idea is. It's like a coaching and guidance service where I will work one-on-one with the young person to help them kind of take their fuzzy ideas about where they might want to go, where they might, you know, what they might want to do there, and use all this experience I have from 10 years of planning unschool adventures trips. Like, that's a lot of research and design.
Yeah.
Plus, as you know, Zen, I travel a lot in my own personal life. And so I've got that experience to draw upon also. And so I'm trying to take that all and create this guidance and coaching service, but also have a community aspect. And so connect all of these young adults who are coming to take the individual adventures program into this online community where there's weekly video chat meetings, and that will allow them to have this network of support, meet potential travel buddies, people who you might want to collaborate with or meet up with in a foreign country, and who can cross-pollinate and inspire each other, and also, you know, kind of give each other help when times are hard, because you encounter a lot of difficult situations going out and doing solo travel. And solo travel doesn't mean like trying to do everything by yourself. It means fundamentally you are setting out by yourself, but you're out there to make friends. You're out there to make new connections, but fundamentally the buck stops with you. And so, yeah, the one-on-one with me plus the community with this like-minded group of peers, I'm hoping will fill a niche that I'm not quite sure if it exists or not. Like, this whole thing is so tenuous, Zen, and it feels like starting unschool adventures again in the beginning, because we didn't know if there was any market for these kinds of trips. They didn't really exist. And now I'm doing it again, but it's like I'm not 25 and like happy to sleep in the back of my car. I'm still happy to sleep in the back of my car every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm sure you still do.
Yeah, but it's like the stakes are a little bit higher now. I really want to make this work, and but I still want to do something different. So I don't know, man. What do you think? What would you bet? Is this going to work? Am I going to get enough signups?
I would bet.
Be honest, Sen. Be honest.
I would bet that it's going to be a rousing success. Man, I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm curious. Is this this is all falling under the umbrella of Unschool Adventures still?
So that's a good question, because I've got this audience that I've built up, and it's a valuable thing. That's really the only asset that I have with Unschool right. Adventures. And I've used that, for example, I'm no longer able to run these writing retreat programs, which we did for multiple years. But my friends Dev and Marion over in Western Colorado, they run a program called the High Desert Center. They have the capacity to run a writing retreat. And so this year, I just essentially helped them make a new webpage for the writing retreat that they would host on their own. And I promoted it for them. And now they have an almost full program. So the audience is a valuable thing. I don't just want to close Unschool Adventures down and disappear. So for now, it's going under the banner of Unschool Adventures. And even though this program, Individual Adventures, can serve non-homeschoolers and unschoolers, this is something that any high school graduate could do. So that broadens the potential number of young people who are wanting to travel but not quite sure how to do it. You know, that broadens the market in a big way. But yeah, fundamentally, this is about being a self-directed person. This is about taking big independent steps while having a supportive community. So it still feels good to make it an Unschool Adventures thing.
Right. That's a huge adventure. I mean, that's been my big adventure for a lot of my life. So I think that's very appropriate. You know, one thing that hadn't occurred to me, Blake, is I didn't realize that you sort of associate starting Unschool Adventures with your sort of the start of your entrepreneurial bug, because I've always thought of you as someone who's like really entrepreneurial. And I'm curious, you know, all of this is awesome. You're creating all of these great programs for teenagers, but I also think that there's you're actually also a really incredible example for adults as someone who has crafted their own work and lives this life of like very intentionally created very intentionally created career with very intentional work. Tell me a little bit more about that. What is it like living your life this way? what are some of like the tips and tricks you'd give to other people looking to do the same thing, teenagers or adults?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. And second of all, I have no idea how to answer that question. tips and tricks. What is this? A BuzzFeed article?
Can you give me your top 10, please?
Yeah. Top 10 Blake life advice.
Well, let me phrase it a little bit differently. What makes you want to continue on this path of building your own companies this way? What is exciting about this to you, and why this rather than working for someone else?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I would consider working for someone else. Like, there are parts about being self-employed, as I'm sure you know, that are so difficult and unsavory that, in fact, my friend Ken Danford, who started North Star, the Center for Teens out in Western Massachusetts, he had this great quote that I put into my book, The Art of Self-Directed Learning. He said, being a self-directed learner is kind of like being self-employed. And sometimes you just wish you could have your 40-hour-a-week job back. You know, and so there is a big parallel between the whole unschooling thing and the entrepreneurial thing. And I think what makes me stay in it, despite the fact that like I earn so much less money than like people in my same kind of age and class demographic and people who went to UC Berkeley, you know, I'm just like this kind of pathetic outlier when it comes to finances. But the fact that I've had this life that is totally my own and it's my story and nobody else has done anything quite like this. And if I succeed, then I own the success. And if I fail, then I own that failure. Like, it's all part of my story.
Right.
Like, just this feeling of ownership over my life has been so empowering, and this feeling of freedom. And I've taken advantage of that freedom to live lots of different places, to see foreign countries, to have this big diversity of experiences. Like, it's just been such a fun ride. And the challenge is, you know, figuring out how to take this into the next phase of life so that I can have something that looks like a family and looks like a somewhat more stable income that does not require me, crossing international borders multiple times a year.
Right. One of the things I was, you know, before we got on the call here, Blake, I was noticing, or I was browsing through your websites and all of your online articles, and it's all, and by the way, nice job with the Not Back to School Camp website. I know that was your work as well. Yeah. And you have this whole online persona and also online sort of like library of not just books and things you've written, but also websites and projects and now videos as well. How is it managing all of that? And what is it like being a brand online on social media rather than how do you deal with sort of your interactions with social media, like balancing it with like, oh, I have to present as a business and I have to present as a person. How do you work through all of that?
Yeah, the social media part is easy. I am myself on Facebook, and there is no brand. There's no, every once in a while I'll post about a trip or some new project or crazy idea that I'm trying. But the Unschool Adventures Facebook page is quiet as a graveyard. You know, I don't maintain any Twitter accounts. Instagram, I post when we're on trips and otherwise completely ignore it because I find Instagram totally distasteful. And so I have no real social media discipline, Zen. And I just happen to have this incredible network on Facebook of mostly like cool homeschooling moms. Yeah. Something I would have never imagined myself to have, 15 years ago. And they are like super helpful in connecting me to cool people and cool opportunities. Just last week, for this new talk that I'm giving at alternative schools and self-directed learning centers on this little speaking road trip that I'm doing this year, I was looking for some fresh stories about teenagers who quit high school and it really made a big positive difference in their lives. And so I just threw the question out there like, hey, I'm looking for some stories. And I immediately got three really high quality responses. And I used them in my very first talk that I gave on this fall stretch of the tour yesterday here in Lake Tahoe. And they were a big hit. And so, social media has been something that has been much more instrumental in connecting me to I don't know, friends I haven't made yet. And people who are kind of fighting for the same cause. We're all under the same banner. And it's been wonderful. But really, I only exist on Facebook.
I just want to say that you say all that, but I also actually think your online presence is rather good. I think the really nice thing, Blake, about the content you post is that it's always very thoughtful and useful. It doesn't ever feel like you're posting just fluff for the sake of posting fluff. You've got some really great articles that you've written. One of my favorite recent ones you did was How to Quit Parenting. I really love that one. And then you also will just share really great quotes. There was a great one you did recently. You shared about kids and screen time and like how kids are drawn to wanting that Minecraft experience because they're not able to get that sort of freedom in real life anymore.
That was a Peter Gray quote. That was a good one.
Amazing. I loved it. And then one of my favorite things you've been posting recently are the videos that you've done. You have this, you did three of them, right?
Did four of them in total.
Four of them. That's right. And my favorite one, by the way, is the one it's titled "To Fix Education, Make It Consensual." I absolutely love that. And I want you to know I shared all of those videos. So right now I'm working at a company called Lyft. And I actually got something that may be interesting to your audience is one of the things that got me hired at Lyft was that my manager loved the fact that I was an unschooler. And when he hired me, he even sort of said to me, I'm hiring you because of your unschooling background and your ability. I know that you're going to be able to come in and like take ownership of these projects and like really push for them and be autonomous. And so he's really interested in unschooling. He's thinking about unschooling his kids now because he met me. And I've been sharing your videos with him as well, and he's been loving them. So just so you know, those are a big hit. What was it like creating those, and who did you work with to create them?
It was a nightmare, let me tell you. I am so terrible behind the video camera. It is shocking. I shocked myself. But somehow my friend Addison, who also went to Not Back to School Camp, went on a couple of my trips, and who I hired to be the media guru on a big trip we did in 2015.
Addison's first advisee group at Not Back to School Camp was my advisee group.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, love Addison.
Well played, Zen. You pushed him in the right direction. So I went up to Seattle this spring and worked with him to produce these videos. And we originally thought, yeah, we can crank out 15 videos. It was like so obvious from day one that like I just had to do so many takes just to say two sentences correctly. And then he would always say, all right, Blake, turn up the enthusiasm by another 10%. And I was like, really? I'm so enthusiastic already. He said, no, you're not. Not behind the camera. You're not. Oh, my God. So I paid him, and it took a week to do this. And I'm so in awe of everyone who makes cool, polished YouTube videos. I'm like, hands down, you are all gods. But this was, just like another side project. These were some topics that are really close to my heart, stuff that I've been thinking and writing about ever since I discovered alternative education in college. And the other ones were about how to become a badass homeschooler. One was about how unschoolers get into college, and then why you should stop going to high school if you're bored there, if you hate it there. And so none of this is any new stuff. I'm just trying to do it in a new medium. And those articles that I've been writing, I'm just taking these books that I like to read anyways, like parenting and education books. The one that you said that you liked, that was a summary and review of the book The Idle Parent, which was written a number of years ago by this English guy, Tom Hodgkinson. And these are books that I just find interesting, and I decided I'm going to start writing about them as I'm reading them because, with this entrepreneurial thing, if you don't really know where to go next, you just got to work on a bunch of little side projects. That's my belief. And so the writing, the podcasting, the videos, some online courses that I've been playing with, these have all been little side projects, and I'm kind of waiting to see which one feels the best and which one maybe has some potential to become a money-making thing. And some other things I think I'm going to keep doing forever and ever, even though they never make me any money, like writing my email newsletters. I just love those. I'm about to, as soon as we finish recording this, then I'm going to publish this, and then I'm going to send it out in my August email newsletter. Like, I love writing those. I'll do that forever and ever.
I want you to know that your email newsletter is the only email newsletter that I read.
Come on. That can't be true. There's some good email newsletters out there.
No. Well, there may be, but I am certainly not subscribed to them. but yeah, I feel like a lot of times when you subscribe to an email list, it's sort of useless or it runs on too long. And yours are very concise and to the point. And I'm not just saying this because I'm hosting your podcast right now.
Okay. You're not being compensated for this, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah. No, I really do like them, man. I think they're really, really cool. And practical. They're really useful. The information in them, you know, the way I sort of think about it is, you know, Blake, you're sort of doing a service like a DJ used to do for music back in the day, back in the old days of DJs,
the '90s,
you know, back in the day when you consumed music, you would have a gatekeeper. You would have someone who was a tastemaker who would sort of serve you, hey, this is the stuff I think is cool. And you would follow DJs or record labels based on their taste. And you know, the work you do is very similar in that I'm following you, engaging with you because I trust your taste and you're serving me information I'm interested in. Sort of all the best pieces of it. And so I think it's awesome. And kudos to you.
Thank you, Zen. And by the way, what you do with the House Show podcast, like finding all these tiny artists I would have never heard of. Spotify would have never put them onto my Discover Weekly feed. Like you bring these to my attention. So you serve this curation kind of service also as a public service to the world. So thank you for the inspiration, the ongoing inspiration.
Yeah, man, I believe strongly in the human tastemakers as opposed to getting all your stuff through the algorithm. But that's really cool. So it sounds like there's a lot of balls in the air right now. What are some of the things coming up for you that you're excited about or that people should know about?
I'm going on the speaking tour. I did it on the West Coast this spring with a talk where I talked about lots of different things, and especially I talked about parenting. And this is the first time I've ever talked about parenting in a public speaking kind of way, which is a bit intimidating because I have no children. I've just been like a surrogate crazy uncle to a bunch of teenagers. And so that's got to be worth something. But yeah, fundamentally, I don't have the full parenting experience under my belt. But reading a lot of these books about parenting has helped kind of build the credentials. And I'm doing something new this fall. My talk is called "Yes, You Can Quit Traditional High School and Everything Will Be Okay." Mm. And what I'm trying to do, and what I did this spring, was I've been partnering with these small alternative schools like Democratic Free Schools and self-directed learning centers like one similar to North Star. And, you know, often these are small organizations that are always looking for more people to sign up. They're looking for more exposure. And I have this, you know, small but not insignificant kind of national platform through the email list and through Facebook. And so I take my tiny little audience and I combine it with their, you know, like an alternative school's tiny little audience. And when our powers combine, we can actually get a decent turnout sometimes.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get new families in, especially the families of the parents of teenagers and soon to be teenagers who are seeing school not really working for their kid and are looking for alternatives but are still really skeptical. So that's kind of who the talk is aimed for. It's trying to get new blood into these little alternative schools and self-directed learning centers. So that's happening this whole fall. And no more videos then. I'm sorry to break your heart.
My heart is broken. I love those videos.
I traumatized myself too much. I need some recovery time.
Okay, I'm gonna in a couple months, Blake, when you least expect it, and you finally gotten the bad video blood out of your system, we're gonna revisit this one.
Okay, but you and I are both gonna star in them. That's the deal.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Being in front of the camera is hard. I very relate.
Okay, podcasting. This is episode number 47. Of this podcast. It was the Real Education Podcast originally.
Yep.
Some sweet Zen Zenith intro music. And then it turned into Off Trail Learning, and that's the name I'm keeping. And like, I love this so much. And as long as I can find time, you know, a couple hours here and there to do an interview, I will do this for as long as I can, because it's just an excuse to talk with fascinating people in the world of alternative education. And I have not gotten tired of it. And podcasts, even though there's a bajillion podcasts out there, like everyone and their uncle and their dog has a podcast now, there's still not a lot of podcasts in this little niche realm of kind of highly alternative education and unschooling. Right. There's a few out there, but I feel like I'm still offering something unique. So yeah, that will continue. I think I'll keep writing those articles. I'm kind of done with online courses, and like, I've had this little fleeting dream that you've known about because I've tried to recruit you to help me design them. And the fundamental problem, which I've known since day one, is that everyone loves the idea of building an online course and making money from an online course, and nobody really wants to take online courses.
Yep.
Like, sure, I know some people out there make money from online courses, but I don't think I'm going to be that guy. And so I've got this little thing I created last year called Launchpad, which is about, it's kind of like a productivity 3-week email-based course for self-directed learners. And like, every once in a while, somebody buys that through Unschool Adventures, and that feels nice. But I think it's a false dream, Zen.
Well, you and I have had a Starbucks and a Red Robin meeting about this.
And that's only because we were stuck in Roseburg, Oregon. Okay?
Yes, we do
on
not
a day off
frequent
from not back
Red
to school
Robin.
Camp.
It was definitely a we were visiting town and we needed to grab that burger. but yeah, we've talked about this, and I totally agree. I helped build an online course for someone, and yeah, the exact same thing. I think there's a lot of talk about people making money off of doing that as sort of a passive income style thing. And I think the reality is it's, I don't know, for me, I know I always look at online courses and I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And then ultimately it just isn't as appealing as going somewhere and learning with a community. And yeah. I also think so yeah. much of the value of education, or at least of structured education, is the people that you meet when you're doing it. And it's, you know, you can obviously meet people online in forums and stuff like that, but it's different than being face to face with someone.
Completely agree. And that's one thing that makes me a little bit skeptical about running these independent adventures,
right?
Starting next year. Like, I think there's people who see clear value in their 19-year-old getting to work one-on-one with me to develop a really like cool, balanced, kind of risk managed travel plan for their first time going out of the country by themselves. But you know, bringing together that online community through just weekly video chats, it's hard to get people to show up and to be super enthusiastic on video chats.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a challenge going down the line. But so if you had to ask me what I'm most excited about, it's definitely the speaking tour, because I get to meet people face to face. And the Q&A sessions are always fun. The podcasting and writing. And I've got one more writing project that's happening right now, which is really, really exciting. I feel like a great honor has been bestowed upon me, which is that the one and only Grace Llewellyn, founder of Not Back to School Camp,
yes,
and author of the Teenage Liberation Handbook, which was that a big influence on you when you were younger, or did you find it later?
That's a great question. No, it wasn't really. I was raised as an unschooler from birth. So, you know, I was an unschooler before my parents even knew what that word meant. And it didn't have the same impact on me that I think it had on a lot of my friends who were in school and then left. But that being said, I love Grace, and Grace has changed my life through Not Back to School Camp in many ways. And that book is legendary. So well done, Blake.
Well, I haven't even gotten to the punchline yet here. Yeah. So that book was a huge influence on me in college, and I've pointed so many people in its direction. And as a writer myself, I've often talked with Grace and said, so, you know, what's the future of the Teenage Liberation Handbook? And, you know, she has these huge plans for it, and she just doesn't have the time to execute on those plans. And last year, I wanted to order a copy of it off of Amazon for my little sister, who was going into her junior year. And it was not available on Amazon.
Mm.
And I said, this is an unacceptable situation. Like, first of all, this book needs to be print on demand, because, you know, right now it's in that self-published book limbo where you have to order copies of your own book and then ship them to Amazon and accept returns and all that BS. And so my two self-published books are both print on demand, which means somebody orders it, a single copy is printed and shipped, and you don't have to ever touch a book again. It is, you know, the way that self-publishing should be done.
Yeah.
So that, and then also the Teenage Liberation Handbook was written in the early 90s, and it's full of all these resources that are very analog. It's full of a bunch of, you know, references to books and to magazines that don't exist anymore. And essentially all those resources, Grace agreed with me, need to be taken out and just dumped onto an online, you know, directory.
That can be updated.
And then you slim down the book and you just have the really great content where it's like, this is why school might not be good for you. This is what you can do instead. Here's how you do it. And so Grace has agreed to hire me to be the editor of the third and final edition, the ultimate edition of the Teenage Liberation Handbook.
Yeah, that's
great. And so, yeah, I'm working with her to make those changes to the manuscript and get it out there again.
Cool, Blake. That's awesome. What about Do you have any of your own books that are, you know, you have a couple books online, and I love your work as well. Anything in the pipeline?
I have not had a new book in me for a number of years, and it's something I'm just living with. And you know, I wouldn't want to force one out. That would be a painful birth, and it'd probably be an ugly baby.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting the writing bug out by doing these articles. I've been writing for the Alliance for Self-Directed Education, which is this new nonprofit that I think is definitely worth supporting. And so I'm just writing for free for them. And yeah, so maybe eventually I'll take this stuff and turn it into another book, but no plans right now.
Right on. Right on, Blake. Well, this has been really fun. Is there anything else that you feel is worth sharing with your audience before we wrap it up here?
I would just love to hear from anyone who feels some parallel tracks in their lives to mine. Like, I think it's always interesting to talk to people who are trying to make a living working for a fairly idealistic cause.
Right.
And that's the category I see myself in. And I don't know if I'll be able to make it work. Like, maybe these independent adventures will never gain critical mass. Maybe there won't ever be another book that's worth writing. And maybe I'll just need to take a job doing something else. And you know what? If that's how it has to be, that's fine. But I would love to continue existing in this space for as long as possible, because it's where I feel most natural. It's where I feel at home.
Yeah.
And I kind of came up with this job description for myself last year, which is I'm an advocate for self-directed learning. And like, if I can just find an organization who has a job opening for a full-time location independent advocate for self-directed learning, that would be awesome. Not holding my breath for that one, Zen. But I don't know, just if there's anyone out there who is in a similar boat and you've been kind of struggling with the same challenges of trying to be self-employed and do something that's still kind of idealistic, and you found a way to make it work, like, I'd love to hear from you. So email me, okay? Yours truly at BlakeBowles.com.
Right on. I think, you know, I feel like the space that you occupy, Blake, is only going to grow, because I think, you know, when I was growing up, unschooling and alternative education were really fringy and were really focused on education and growing up, and then none of it really applied to adults. But I feel like in the modern world, a lot of the philosophy around alternative education, self-directed learning, are things that workplaces and just people in general are starting to take on as just rules for living. I see a lot of opportunity for you to keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. Well, that's inspiring, Zen. Please email me, Zen, at yours truly at BlakeBowles.com.
I'll send that feedback right over after we're done here.
I appreciate it.
Right on, Blake.
This has been so great, Zen.
I love talking to you, my dear friend. It is a blast to get to come on and host RIP, the Real Education Podcast, now Off-Trail Learning. And when are you going to come visit me next?
I'm about to leave tomorrow. It's mid-August right now. I'm about to leave for this epic length backpacking trip in the California High Sierra. It's 2 weeks. Totally off trail. It's kind of in the same vicinity as the John Muir Trail, but up in the high country. And so let me get through this first, Zen. Then I'll come visit you in San Francisco.
Okay, that sounds like a deal.
Okay.
All right, Blake. Well, let's wrap it up. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. How do you usually sign these things off?
I don't have a formal sign off. I just say thank you, and the other person says thank you, and then we cut it.
That sounds perfect. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for hosting, Zen. Bye.
Anytime, Blake.